Another fun week of high school football behind us. Another fun week of high school football ahead of us. This is Prep Sports Now. Here to talk about all of it, I'm Case Kiefer, alongside Ray Brewer. Regular season winding down, especially in the 3A. It seems like it's just revving up, actually, in the upper league. A lot you could take out of Friday night. I guess more than all, Arborview's back, Ray.
Yeah, well, yeah, Arborview's back, but I think there's, Case, five good teams in the Northwest.
I think that's fair, if not six at full strength. Cimarron almost beat Arborview.
I still think that that was a once-in-a-lifetime type of upset in Bruin. But do you feel bad for Shadow? I mean, they're a two-point conversion and Tenney to Robinson bomb away from being basically undefeated in league.
Oh, yeah, you definitely feel bad for him. I mean, that's just we said it was going to be this way coming into the year, though, that you're going to have to pull some upsets. There's going to be some close games, and for one reason or another, they haven't been able to come out on the right side of the close games. You know, you do feel bad for them because they've been right there for so many years, and then this year it just seems like they're even closer, but they keep having these close losses, and that's going to relegate them. I mean, I don't even see – they'd have to have all kinds of crazy things happen to get into the playoffs at this point.
Yeah, and well, I mean, if they beat Faith this weekend – right.
Okay. Maybe I oversold that. My bad. But yeah. I mean, they're okay. So if they beat Faith this weekend, they're in the driver's seat.
I wouldn't say they're in the driver's seat, but it makes things crazy because then they and Faith would have one win each or two wins each. It's just a crazy league. And then you look at Centennial, who they beat Arborview, and we put them on the king's throne. We anointed them not only the Canes champion but the Northwest champs, and then they go out and they promptly lose to Faith, and then they were a play away from losing last week to Shadow. So now your question is did people catch up to Arbor? Did Centennial, Centennial clearly hasn't handled the victory correctly. For them, it kind of acted like their season was a success. They kind of, it's like you win the Super Bowl, you come back the next year, it's a little harder to go through OTAs, right?
I mean, this is, we're talking week to week here.
I know.
That's a little bit different. Your team's different.
But the champagne, baby, was still bubbly. You were still wet, you know, when you showed up.
Apple cider for high school.
You showed up to practice that Saturday with that feeling of contentment. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, too much apple cider. For Centennial, I can see what you're saying there. That being said, I mean, with how everything's gone, with they lost to Faith Lutheran, of course. Faith Lutheran comes back this week, and Arborview has a strong fourth quarter to pull out a win. I think it was tied 17-17 going into the fourth quarter. I mean, Centennial now is not in a bad position at all. They have Palo Verde this week, which is obviously a huge game. But if they win that, they still have a great chance to win the league.
Yeah, and so it's,
I mean, they have Bonanza and Cimarron. After that, they're going to be big favorites in both those games.
But if Palo is the one wild card, because right now Palo's undefeated. Now, granted, they've got the heart of the schedule in their eyes, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I told you about that quarterback. Nobody listens to me.
Hey, you always put me on the spot and ask me these questions, so I want to do it to you right now. I've got a question for you. All right, so Palo Verde will finish the season at Centennial, home for Faith Lutheran, and then at Arborview. What percentage do you give them to win at least one of those games?
Give me where they're at again.
At Centennial, home for Faith, at Arborview. You don't have to do each one. I just want to know. I mean, they're an underdog in all three games. I think we could probably agree on that. But what percentage do you think they win at least one?
Because I know whatever I'm going to... I've been taking a lot of...
I wasn't trying to set you up for failure. I was just curious.
But here's the... I'd say they're about a 30% chance to go 1-2. No. Yeah.
That's fair.
A 30% chance to go 1-2.
Okay. I think it's closer to 50-50 just because like I said, they're going to be an underdog in every one of these games. So heck if I'm the one to figure it out, or I don't know which one to pick. But I feel like they're going to have a chance to win one of these games, and I think it's really likely they pull one of the upsets. I can't figure out which one.
How big, I mean, are we discounting their 3-0 record I mean, because look at the common opponent. They battled with Shadow, and Shadow almost beat Centennial, right? And Shadow, they're pretty much. We said you run the Shadow Palo game 10 times, it goes 5-5.
You know, yeah, maybe 6-4. I still think I'm picking Palo if they play again tomorrow.
I'm picking Shadow.
Okay, well, there you go. I think Palo's a little bit better than Shadow, probably, based on what I remember from that game. But your point stands. Shadow almost beat Centennial, too. So maybe Centennial Shadow's only 7-3. That's still pretty close. So I don't know. I think they're going to have a chance. I think they might.
If you ran the Arbor Centennial game, sorry to cut you off, would it be 6-4 Centennial?
I might say 5-5. It was super close this time, right?
It was super close.
And going into it, I would have said that Arborview wins more often than not. So now I've regressed and said it's about average. I think it's about 50. I think it's just a lot of these teams, it just depends on who's up to go on that night, who plays best that night. It really does feel like that in the Northwest.
And I really feel like the playoffs are going to be fun. Because now you get DP in the mix, who's probably the odds-on favorite.
But if DP has a bad night, maybe four teams that could beat them if they really struggle. I mean, if they had a penalty-fueled, turnover-struggling night, I think.
Plus, they haven't really been challenged yet. They haven't been in a close game. They haven't had to rally from a deficit, even though they were down at half to Minogue in the opener.
Yeah, but you were at that game, right? And even then you were saying like they were just making mistakes. It was going to be okay. They certainly weren't challenged. This week they beat Mojave 71-0.
What are the odds of Gorman and DP winning by the exact same score?
Oh, it was the exact same score? Yeah. Wow. So, yeah, Gorman beat Durango 71-0. Yeah, that's a very big long shot, especially a non-common number like 71-0. 70-0 might be a little more likely if they both score 10 touchdowns, but there you have it. How about, though, a team, while we're in this region, with a better record than both Gorman and Desert Pines, it just keeps growing. My Las Vegas Wildcats, 37-26 over Canyon Springs to stay perfect. Man, that it's pretty cool to see them continue to have such success.
Yeah, so I watched a little bit of the Thursday night game against Canyon Springs. They rallied back from another fourth quarter deficit, got the victory, doing everything right. And I tell you what, the Kitty Cats could sling it around, Case. They got a few guys that could get after it. They got a quarterback who could throw it, and they are they're a team that has confidence, and that's one thing that's real dangerous. And I'm hoping that, well, Legacy won't like to hear this, but I'm hoping that DP beats Legacy so we could get an undefeated Eastside championship next week.
Yeah, November 1st, so not this week, but next week, Desert Pines in Las Vegas all of a sudden looms large as one of the biggest games of the year on the schedule. We're kind of getting ahead of ourselves talking about the playoffs because that one is going to be a whole lot of fun. We'll talk more about all these games once we get to the picks here in a few minutes, but I think that's a little bit of an overview of the Northwest and Northeast. Go ahead.
Were you worried about Liberty, Case?
No. I think last week on the podcast I said, I don't know how big of a favorite did I make Liberty, around 30 points.
But they haven't given up a point yet.
Well, they gave up 3 to Shap. They haven't given up a touchdown yet.
Okay, you better fix that in my picks, though.
Oh, okay. Well, I will. I actually, I thought you were going to say I need to fix that on my story, because when I was writing the story Friday night, I think I originally went in saying, like, oh, they haven't given up a point, and then I double-checked, and that Chaparral field goal kicker, we gave him love last week. Yeah. He the only one to score on the Liberty defense so far.
Yeah. So last year, Chaparral beat Liberty, and this year they scored on the defense. Okay. Liberty just really got after it. Have we been not giving Jeremy Bernard enough respect for Liberty, the wide receiver sophomore?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a kid we should be talking about more. God, one of the best wide receivers in town, right?
The video of that kid, he looks so smooth. You know, like when a receiver runs a route and he looks like smooth and crisp, like he's gliding on pillows, Case?
Yeah, I like that, gliding on pillows.
Yeah, he looks really smooth, and I think that That's a true testament to what Liberty's done over there. And, you know, both Liberty and Faith, they scheduled that let's play the best regional slash national opponents we can early. Who cares what the result is? And I know that's an exaggeration, but then you get back to local play and it's so much easier.
Yeah, it's like taking the donut off the baseball bat.
Just great analogy.
Swing it all around because they are just destroying people. And yeah, Bernard had a huge game, popped out to me on Friday night too. He's averaging more than 20 yards per catch. So I think they're just get this guy the ball in open space and he can really do some damage. And I think he's going to continue to do some damage as Liberty progresses throughout the Southeast. I guess real quickly, I should note that I'm back to even with you on the year after my future bet of Coronado beating Basic came through pretty easily.
Yeah, Basic's struggling to score. Let me ask you this. The Desert Region, CK, which is...
I always forget the name. That's why I just keep saying the region. But, okay, go ahead.
Which is the Southeast League, the Henderson-based Southeast League, and the Southwest League, which is the league Gorman's in. Rank those teams 1 to 5.
If they can be from any league.
From either of the two leagues. Pretend it's the players.
1, Gorman. 2, Liberty. I know you're going to have some take here that's totally
this is where I'm getting at. Who's 3?
Foothill. you disagree, obviously. 4, are you trying to sell me on... I think you're going to try to sell me on Silverado, but you were so high on Green Valley coming into the year. You said they were the clear 3 of the whole region. If Green Valley and Silverado played tomorrow, then you're taking Silverado?
I take Silverado 10 times out of 10.
Okay. All right. Well, I actually would cede to you. So if you're this strong on Silverado, I'll give you Silverado 4, but I'm not giving them to you over Foothill.
Now, granted, Silverado may look good because they're beating up on the Clarks and the Spring Valleys of the world, where you saw Green Valley going to a Shap this week, which is kind of a like-minded opponent, and Green Valley put up a 50 spot on Shap, right?
Yeah.
But, I mean, the Cunningham kid for Silverado goes for, like, he's probably rushed more yards than Vaughn has. He's probably the leader in town.
Yeah, he's been very impressive, and yeah, I think it's fair to sing his praises. And like I said, I'll go as far as to put them at 4 right now with you. But if they're playing Foothill next week too, you would pick them to beat Foothill. A little tougher, right?
So obviously, a lot tougher. I worry. Coach Brown all season had said, you know, when our offense gets clicking, or if our offense gets clicking, and we're making too many mistakes offensively, and turnovers and penalties and everything, and then you saw them just get swarmed by Liberty there, right?
Yeah.
And now you're like, okay.
Well, reading between the lines with how you reacted to Foothill versus Green Valley, I haven't looked at your picks yet, but I got to think you're on a side that's going to anger me.
I might not even have picked that game.
Oh, okay. Well, they play this week, Foothill, Green Valley. And I just want to remind that at the beginning of the year, you yelled at me for saying Foothill is right in the same class with Green Valley.
No. I did pick the game. It's the 4th one on the sheet.
And I'm assuming you picked the team that you said was in a whole different tier than the other. Not really. I can tell by the way you talked that you probably didn't. But
a good pick that's going to come in. I'm currently leading in the pick section.
We'll get to it. Before we get to the picks, though, we have to talk on, I think, the biggest, most impactful games, at least, as far as the standings and going into the playoffs this week, are taking place in the 3A. Some huge 3A games this week. The hammer game between Virgin Valley and Moapa Valley is going to decide the Sunrise League. And I think you've done the computations, right?
Well, I've had help, but yeah.
And you know, give us the scenario.
So Moapa hosts Virgin in the hammer game, right? The Great Nevada Rivalry.
Mm-hmm.
If Moapa wins by 5 or more, they win the league. If Virgin wins straight up, they're undefeated, they win the league.
Yep, Virgin 4-0, Boulder 3-1, Moapa 3-1 to visualize the standings right now.
If Moapa wins but wins by less than 5, Boulder wins the league if Boulder beats Sunrise.
That's a real possibility, too. I think all 3 of these things could easily happen, right?
Because I think no matter what side of the Virgin-Moapa game you're on, I think we all think it's going to be a a game that literally is decided by a missed extra point or a two-point conversion.
Yeah, certainly I don't think if we were putting a number on this game, neither team is a touchdown favorite. So, man, yeah, that looms large. I guess the one thing that, I mean, everyone wants a league title, so that's the reason why it's such a big deal. The one thing I will say, though, is all three of these teams are probably going to be favored in their first playoff game regardless. No?
It's a huge deal because...
You still love Del Sol?
No. It's a huge deal because you get to play at home. I think is forget about... Because...
That's true.
Especially when the North starts factoring into things. So, three teams make the playoffs, right? One team gets a bye, which is good, right?
Uh-huh.
So...
They get a bye? Okay.
Yeah, remember, you get a bye...
Okay, I was confused. I should have been looking at the bracket.
Yeah, so six teams will be in the playoffs, three from the sunset and three from the sunrise. So the three are arguably going to be Virgin, Boulder, and Moapa. And then on the other side, it's going to be Pahrump,
Cheyenne, Del Sol.
Del Sol. And maybe if Valley beats Pahrump up in Pahrump this weekend. So...
If basically disregard everything I said. It is huge.
Yeah.
Especially with the bye. I forgot the bye played into it.
Because also then if you get stuck having to go to Prump next weekend for your first playoff game, we all know just the difficulties of getting over the hump to Prump.
Yeah, it's a big deal for sure. I just was confused on the thing. You can throw that out. Everyone wants a league title. Everyone should want that bye. Everyone should want the home game and not having to go up north. Because, you know, if there's one Brewer theory that actually checks out, it's that, you know, the northern trip is
the
tough.
The one that checks out.
Yeah, the one that checks out. You got some heat on Twitter for your best player on the field theory with the 3A last week. You had Sunrise beating Virgin.
I think there needs to be an asterisk on that is that Sunrise may have had the best player on the field. That debatable, of course, but Virgin had the other 11.
The Virgin... Coach Woods was also raving about your guy, the best player on the field.
He's good, isn't he?
He said that's why they were able to score 29 points, is that guy's a really, really good player. So at least you probably weren't off on that. He probably is that good.
But it's a team. Football's a team game. You know that.
Yeah, definitely a team game. Brewer has somewhere to go, so we're trying to go a little bit quicker today, right? So should we get to the picks?
Yeah.
I just wanted to let people know why it sounds like we're talking fast.
Yeah.
And,
prep sports now. I'm on the way over to Centennial High School to do something on their cross-country team.
Oh, gotcha. See,
Top 30 team nationally defending state champs. And I might stop off to see the Lady Dogs practice while I'm there.
Of course, Karen Whites, you wouldn't stop. Oh, we should probably also mention while we're in the non-football segment. Well, I don't even know for sure. I probably should have talked to you first. But our Halloween hoops game is this weekend, right?
Yeah.
Saturday?
Yeah.
Saturday night?
Did you see one of my kids broke his leg?
Oh, no. Yeah. Who broke his leg?
Chris Dockery from Bonanza Dunn.
Oh, no. Yeah. All right, well, our thoughts are with Chris. Hopefully you recover well and can get back on... floor at some point. Is he a senior?
I think he is.
Okay. Well,
and I don't think he could redshirt. Also, our
hearts go out to Chris Dockery. Then.
Our Super 7 girls team is on Twitter right now. Our Super 7 boys team will be posted sooner than later.
All right. And be nice to Brewer when he posts those.
The boys
I know that's not always the case. And it was a close race this year in the boys team.
Boys,
I can say that.
It was a disaster, yeah.
Yeah, there were a lot of kids that could have made it. So just be nice. It's a good time of the year. Nevada Day. Spread love to your fellow Nevada brethren. All right. Anyway, you want to go to the picks now?
Let's do it, baby.
All right. You're starting out with the headliner. We teased it a little bit earlier. Virgin Valley at Moapa Valley.
Yeah, CK, I'm like you. I went back and forth on this game a few times because I think the Wyatts for Virgin are really good, and they're going to be able to control the clock and run the rock. But this thing is going to be standing room only, an important game, a huge rivalry, and I just think that Moapa, which is very close to figuring it out. If you look at some of the losses they've had, I just think that it's playoff time. It's go time. They win big games. I'm going with what I know for the last 10 years. I got the Pirates in a really close game because I think this one's going down to the wire. And like I said earlier, it's going to be a conversion type of thing. Like, who's going to miss a kick? Who's going to go for two and get it or get stopped?
Yeah, I can't fault anyone for going either way on this game. You mentioned the Wyatts. I think that is big. But then maybe also the biggest thing is Virgin has its quarterback back at 100% now, Meb Hollingshead. I think that's big. I wish this game was in Mesquite. I'm going to be honest. I think I like Virgin's team just a little bit better. And I guess that's easy to say when they, you know, haven't lost since early in the year, right? Or when did they lose? They've only lost one game, though. And obviously, Moapa has had their struggles. All their losses have been super close, though. So, God, just looks like such a coin flip. I keep going back and forth, as you already said for me. A Virgin lost to Cimarron, by the way, 42-24. I'm going to say the conversion just goes the other way. I'm going to go with Virgin Valley just slightly. It's tough to say.
So you're picking Virgin.
I'm picking Virgin.
In Moapa. So Moapa's going to lose at home three times in one year.
Well, what you just said, I'm agreeing with you, actually. You said that, oh yeah, that goes against a Ray Brewer theory that they would never lose in Overton. They've already lost twice this year.
Yeah.
While we're pointing out the theories. But you said it's going to come down to who misses a conversion or what goes wrong. If it's something that fickle that could go either way.
Yeah.
Then, I mean, it could go the other way, right?
Absolutely. It's a coin flip.
Yeah, I should
have
said agree.
Anyone have a coin.
I think we agree. Game comes down to the final minutes. Like you said, I'm going Virgin. Brewers going Moapa. Should be a really good game. How about this one? Basically for a playoff berth, Coronado at Chaparral.
You know, winner gets Gorman at Gorman.
Well, still, to get to the playoffs, I think is big for these two programs.
And I tell you what, Chap wasn't awful last week against Green Valley. They ended up losing by 30, and they gave up 50, but at one point, the score was in the 20s. So I think they got a chance, but I just think Coronado had a great turnaround story. All power to them. Freddie B, he got it done.
Yeah, I like Coronado too here. I think their defense is playing better and better, as well as the offense has been reliable. I got to go Coronado, but I think your Cowboys have a chance. I don't think this is a beat down by any means.
I agree. I got it less than 10.
Yeah, I think I'm in agreement with you. I think Chaparral will get that field goal kicker. I should get that kid's name again now.
Perez.
They're going to get Perez out there. He's going to kick. He's going to make some field goals, but Coronado will find the end zone a little bit more. So I've got Coronado. I'm reading your picks. I love that you butter me up with this one before you let me down with the next pick. You do absolutely every year tell me that Spring Valley wants to beat Gorman. Now we are going on 13 years ago, and I don't think the streak's going to end now. I got Gorman.
I got Gorman as well.
Big. All right. Big. I liked your comment so much in that game that I won't even yell at you for this one when you told me Foothill's not even in the same sentence with Green Valley. My, how a month and a half has changed your opinion.
Yeah, I got Foothill winning a close one against the Gators, but I will tell you this. Foothill could have a Liberty hangover, right? They took it on the chin, and Green Valley had their Liberty beating 2 weeks ago, and we'll see what Green Valley team shows up. If Green Valley plays like I thought in the preseason they could play, they're going to win the game. But this Foothill D that I've seen in person is just stout, and I got the Falcons.
Green Valley's D is no joke, though, either.
Green Valley's got a good D, Case. You're right.
I think this will be a low-scoring, close game, but I can't go against my Falcons. I've been on them as the two in this division for a while. I guess I have them three in the region, too, which you might...
This is an important game because the winner has to go to Silverado.
Yeah, and the winner...
Loser gets DO
home game.
At home, yeah.
Right, so I'm going with Foothill really close, though. I think this one is another one that comes down to the wire. Liberty at Basic. Oof, this Liberty can name their score.
I agree. Pat's big.
Yeah, Pat's paced. The Wolves. Rancho versus Slam.
Yeah, season's going to end for both these teams. I got the Rams.
Yeah, you got to go with the Rams here. Slam still a year or two away from being able to notch some wins. Boulder City hosts Sunrise Mountain. I guess when we were doing all our scenarios, we should say that if Boulder gets upset, all bets are off the table. They're no shoe-in to be the winner. They got to beat Sunrise first, who you're high on, I think, for good reason. It's tough to go to Boulder and win, though. I think Boulder City pulls this one out. I just hope they're not looking ahead, as it could be dangerous.
Yeah, I'm thinking of last year, same spot last year. Sunrise beat Virgin at Virgin in the last week.
Oh, that's true. This exact same thing happened.
I think this game's going to be close again. Sunrise has got an exceptional player. Boulder City lacks speed. And I think crazy things happen when the season's on the line. So the Eagles are going to have their work cut out for them.
Yeah, I think the Eagles take care of business, but it's a tricky spot. Cheyenne at Del Sol in the other division. I think Cheyenne can get this win on the road.
Yeah, Cheyenne's going to go undefeated. They'll get the bye. They're probably a favorite to win state, or at least a favorite to make it to the four-team playoff, the four-team state tournament. Del Sol, man, they had a chance this year, Case. They had some guys that could go, but they just, I mean, they even had to rally. They had to score 29 points to beat Valley in the fourth quarter. They were down. Yeah. Valley had the knockout blow ready to go. So I think Del Sol, a season of what could have been. They blew it against Pahrump. They should be, you know, going to win the league this weekend. Instead, they're fighting for their season.
Yeah, it hasn't totally gone the way we expected. I've got Cheyenne as well. Valley at Pahrump Valley.
Yeah, Valley's not going to win at Pahrump. No chance.
Yeah, Pahrump, I got to go with this one as well. Mojave at Canyon Springs.
Yeah, could you believe Canyon hasn't won a game yet?
That's crazy. I know, I think we probably say that every week because of their schedule. But yeah, they're 0-6. This should break the schneid.
Yeah, and also probably get them into the playoffs.
Yeah, well, so good for Canyon Springs there. I think they're going to take care of business.
I tell you what, though, I watched that game, CK, on Saturday. I mean, on Thursday. That Martin Blake kid, bro, he could go, man.
Yeah?
He's thick, too. He reminds me a little bit of, who's that running back for the Ravens?
Mark Ingram?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Mark Ingram, bro.
All right, a little bit of Mark Ingram in him. I like it. Canyon Springs finally gets in the win column. For both of us, we'll go with the Pioneers. Las Vegas trying to stay in the win column for an eighth consecutive week at El Dorado.
Yeah, that's going to be a dub.
Yeah, I got Las Vegas as well. Here's a big one, a couple big ones coming up in a row. Legacy at Desert Pines. Legacy could still get into the thick of things in the Northeast. If they win this game, who knows? We could be in another tiebreaker situation. How likely is it that the Longhorns could knock off the Jaguars?
So it's not impossible. Legacy would have to play a pretty flawless game and get some help. But they got some guys that could go.
They're probably deeper if you're looking for advantages. I mean, DP has like their 22 guys and that's basically it, right?
Yeah, I just hate how Legacy let one get away from them against Vegas. In the game, so Evan, the quarterback, Olias, am I saying that right?
Now I don't know because you sent me. Isola sent you the pronunciation, and now I don't remember what it was.
Here, I got it right
I think
here.
It's Olias,
right
but.
Read it. You're smart.
Where is it?
Right here, bro.
Olias.
Well, either way.
Olias, I think that's what it is.
So, Evan O passed for
Olias.
Yeah. He cleared 2,000 yards in 7 games last week. And the Holloway kid, I don't care what anybody says. Maybe I like him like I liked Christian Marshall back in the day. But that kid could go, bro.
Christian Marshall gets more mentions on this podcast than anyone
just
in history.
I don't know what it is. I like speed.
All right.
I like speed, Case. I'm a speed guy.
Yeah. Legacy has had some problems closing out games. They've had some problems starting games. They've been too inconsistent for me to pick an upset. So
yeah,
I
think one thing here is that there's a pretty big difference on the line with the Desert Pines front against the Legacy offensive line. How much time will Legacy have to pass the ball? But I tell you what, there's going to be a lot of Jimmys and Joes on that field that are going to be playing at the next level, and it's going to be fun to watch.
State's all-time sack leader for Desert Pines, right? Lopez?
Yeah, Lopez, and then you've got Michael Jackson III, who just is so good, bro. They're so good. I mean, I tell you what, DP's got some guys, bro. We haven't even mentioned Darnell Washington.
Yeah, that's true. DP, so they're going to bring pressure. I think that'll be enough. I'm going DP along with Brewer. Shadow Ridge at Faith Lutheran. I wrote Shadow Ridge off too fast earlier in the podcast. My apologies. They got to feel good. They keep having opportunity after opportunity. Another one here this week at Faith Lutheran. Is this when they finally break through?
I think this game's going to be close as well. We got a lot of close games this week. But listen, CK, you got to learn how to win at the end eventually. I think Faith knows how to finish a little better than Shadow. And Shadow comes up short. I got the Crusaders. The Crew.
Yeah, I got to go with Faith Lutheran as well. I was a little disappointed with them against Arborview, but they fought. They battled back. They just couldn't finish it out in the end. I think this is going to be another tough one for Shadow Ridge to swallow, but I just can't quite take them yet. I got Faith Lutheran as well. Bonanza at Cimarron.
Cimarron gets a dub. League dub.
This one, a little tougher for me because I know Cimarron is banged up now. Their quarterback got that real bad concussion, didn't play last week. Thoughts with him, hopefully Brandon Smith, I believe it is doing better. They still have Jordan Norwood, though, right? And he's still pretty special. We just sung Virgin's praises, and they beat up on Virgin behind a lot of Norwood. So I'm going to say Norwood gets it done for Cimarron, but I think this one could be closer than you think.
Okay.
Palo Verde at Centennial.
Yeah, this one, I'm telling you what, man. Centennial worries me. I had a hard time with this game. I briefly circled Palo, and then I said, okay, hold on. Don't give Palo that much credit. You saw Centennial. The defense is stout. Maybe these scares have struck some urgency in them. The awful thing for Centennial is they need Shadow to beat Faith because right now they're going to be a 9-1 team as the 3 seed in the playoffs and going to Vegas High School.
Yeah, sounds tough.
Because they slipped up there against Faith. So Centennial is rooting for Shadow in a big way to get through Faith. And I think they handle their bit. If everything plays out the way I think they should, I think they handle their business and they beat Palo, but I think it's a close game. And shout out to my guy, Colton Tenney. He had that big sling to Robinson for the winning touchdown. And the coach just, Ray Forsey, raved about how calm and cool the kid is. And he is calm and cool, maybe too calm and too cool, because I think those dogs need to be urgent, baby, you know?
Are we sure that scenario, I don't know if it's necessarily right,
though. I got that from a source, the coach.
Oh, but...
On the point tiebreaker, okay. Give me the scores. Look at the scores.
Oh, okay.
If there's a three-way tie between Arbor, Centennial, and Faith.
Yeah.
Right?
Because now they've all already played. I got you. But yeah. I also just think it's very presumptuous to think there's going to be no more upsets in this league when there's been upsets after upsets after upsets. But I agree with you here. Actually, I like Centennial. I think Centennial settles down this week and gets it done. I stand by that Palo has a really good chance to win one of these games. I just don't think it's going to be this week. I don't know. I feel like we haven't seen the Bulldogs' best in a couple weeks. Now they're going to be refocused, and they'll come out and get it done. I agree with most of what you said.
Okay. All right,
so we're in a lot of agreement this week, but that's how it usually goes. The last two games, Sierra Vista at Durango.
Durango.
Yep, Durango.
Sierra Vista's not going to win a game this year.
Yeah, God, it's tough because Sierra Vista had been the kind of the steady number two in that league until this year. But those are the tides that come and go with high school football around here. Clark at Desert Oasis for the final game.
Hey, shout out to D.O. for getting that dub last week. They were short on some guys, including starters. They're like, hey, before you give Silverado the 2 seed, we'd like to play them. Because if Silverado – so Silverado's got a bye this week. If my wife calling, if Dio gets the dub against Clark, then they're playing next week in Silverado for the 2 seed in home game.
And they should get the dub, but Clark is tough. This could maybe be a little bit closer than you think. I'm going to go D.O. in a relatively tight game.
I got D.O. by 20.
Okay, so not a tight game. That'll do it for this week of Prep Sports Now. We'll be back next week, talk some 3A playoffs, and another week in the books for the 4A. For Ray, I'm Case. Thanks, as always, for listening.